Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to Locked On Cavaliers, the official Cleveland Cavaliers podcast in the Locked On Podcast Network. It's a daily show, yes daily, covering the NBA champion Cavaliers and the NBA at large. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Cavs and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, or Google Play. If you'd like to submit questions, inquire about an ad, or just say hi, email the show at LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And if you're a fan of the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes, as it helps other people find the podcast. Now, here's today's show.
Welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, the official Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Chris Manning. I'm an editor at Fear the Sword and a staffer at Hardwood Paroxysm. And today we have our first non-writer guest. It's someone I'm very excited to talk to. He is the head basketball coach at Oakland University. He coached recent Cavs draft pick Kay Felder. It is Greg Campy. Greg, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. I appreciate you having me on and can't wait to see how Kay does down there in Cleveland.
Yeah, I really thank you again for coming on the show. So the first thing is, Kay, when you recruited him, you know, he's a guy you coached for 3 years. What first drew you to him as a player, and what made you go after him when he was in high school?
Well, we knew he was special. The reason that we were able to get him, because as you know, most of your fans know, we're a mid-major program. The reason we were able to get him is because he was only 5'7" when he graduated from high school. But he was such a dynamic player. We knew in our system he'd have a chance to be something special. What we didn't know then is that he had the heart the size of a lion, you know, and that's what's really differentiated, and that's what's made him be able to, you know, get to your level, is that his heart is so big, and he wanted to be a great player, and he worked so hard. But the key about him was that he was a dynamic player, and what I mean by dynamic is that he was a highlight film waiting to happen. I mean, he can do so many things. And when you're 5'8", and you dunk it with your elbow, things like that, the fans go crazy. So, you know, we were very fortunate that he decided to come to Oakland.
Did you know right away that he was going to be that type of player for your program?
Did I know that he'd be a draft pick? We felt after his freshman year that he was definitely going to be a pro. I actually think if he would have stayed at Oakland for his senior year, I think he might have been a lottery pick. I think for sure a first-rounder, maybe a lottery pick. But, you know, he got intel that, you know, there were some franchises like Cleveland that really wanted him. And so he decided that, you know, it was time to go make some money.
He had famously had that quote that got put around before the draft that if he was, 6 foot tall, he'd be a top 10 pick. What does that say that he has that sort of confidence in his abilities and that he, even though he is a shorter guy, that it doesn't seem to bother him at all?
Well, when you're in the business that I'm in, you understand that the people that have that type of confidence in themselves are the great ones. And you want those people to have that type of confidence. Now, Kay on the floor never showed anybody up. He's not egotistical or cocky. I mean, he said a couple things. We have an arch rival like everybody does, and he guaranteed we'd beat them, and we did go 6-1 against them while he was here. So, you know,
I wish
he hadn't done that. So, you know, every once in a while something comes out. But to be honest, you want that in your great players. And like Tiger Woods, I mean, when he was in his heyday, he never saw a putt he couldn't make, and he'd tell you that, you know. And then LeBron is, you know, I think Cleveland's very fortunate that you have a guy who's great, you know, one of the greatest ever, and is yet humble. But at the same time, you know he knows he's good, you know, and you just gotta have that.
So for Cavs fans who maybe only saw Kay play in summer league or haven't only seen play you know, one or two times or not at all. How would you describe his game?
Well, he's a fast, this is a very unusual way to describe someone, but he is a pass-first scorer. And I doubt those two words have ever been put together again, you know, before. But he is. I mean, if Kay comes back and plays his senior year at Oakland, he needed about 270 assists. He had 320 this year, so that unless he got injured, he was going to do it. To be the all-time greatest assist man in the history of college basketball, he would have passed Bobby Hurley. And yet he averaged 24 points a game. Now, part of that's our system. He had the ball in his hands all the time, and one of the things he's going to have to learn is LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, and he's got to learn how to play off the ball. But in our place, he was our LeBron, so he had the ball. And if you game-planned against him and tried to double him, he would be just as happy getting 15 assists as he would be getting 30 points. And that's a very unusual combination, and that's what made him so good for us.
Do you have a favorite Kay Felder game or Kay Felder story that stands out to you from the 3 years he was playing for you at Oakland?
Well, the Washington game this year, we needed that signature win, and he went out there and just killed them. He had 25 at halftime. We were up, I think we were up 55-35 at halftime. And he just, very seldom did we do this, but the last 7 minutes of the first half, I just cleared the floor and gave it to him, and I said, just go make a play. No ball screen, nothing. Just clear the floor and go, because you knew that that was the night he was, I mean, he had it going. And so it was a beautiful thing to watch. And then in the post game, he gave all the credit to me, and he gave credit to his teammates, and that was when I knew the young man had grown into the superstar he needs to be. So, you know, that was kind of that nourishing moment as a coach that you look at a kid and you just let him go.
Where do you think he's grown the most as a player or, you know, as a person or both over the course of the time you coached him?
Well, he grew up as a young man. You know, he came from the inner city. A good family, though. He did not have a bad family life. He had a good family life. He had good mentorship at Pershing High School. He had good coaching. So it wasn't a project that way, but I think he was a little immature when I got him. He didn't really understand how hard you have to work. But once he learned that, he really embraced it. But the biggest thing basketball-wise that he grew up at is he learned how to value the possession. When I first got him, you know, it was like, you know, this AAU mentality that's out there today, you know, where they go in the AAU season, they go play six games in a weekend, you know, and there's always the next possession, there's always the next play, there's always the next game. Well, at our level and in the NBA, every game is of utmost importance and every possession has to be played of utmost importance. And Kay learned that over his career, learned how to value possessions. He really had a lot of loose and sloppy turnovers. I called him Brett Favre his freshman year in that. He wanted to throw the touchdown pass, you know. He wanted to throw it on every play, and he had to, you know, thread the needle and all. And he had to learn when to do that and when not to, and how important the valuing the ball is. And he did a great job of learning that.
You know, he's going into a situation where you mentioned LeBron. He's going to be playing on a team that, because they have LeBron and because they just won the title, they're going to be playing, you know, at the highest level. And they also have, you know, Kyrie Irving, a point guard who's an all-star and all those things. But there's also an opening, potentially a backup point guard, considering Matthew Dellavedova left for the Bucks. What do you hope Kay can accomplish as a rookie in the NBA?
I told him he's very lucky. He got the perfect situation. He gets to play on the best team in the game with a chance to win a championship. And don't forget, they make playoff money.
Yeah.
So he's a chance to make some money because he's not going to get paid early the way that he'll get paid later in life. So he's got a chance to make money. He's got a chance to win another title, get a ring right out of the gate. And he's going to be playing on one of the greatest players that ever played the game's team. He's going to be playing behind maybe the best point guard in the game right now. And the ability to learn and be a sponge and take all that in, learn how to compete, learn how champions do things, You know, you can't beat that. And the other thing that really is they need somebody to come off the bench and score points. And that's what he can do. And so it's just a perfect situation for him. It's a situation where he's not going to be needed to play, you know, 25 or 30 minutes. My guess is, you know, as the backup, he's going to play, what, 10 to 15 minutes at the most, unless it's a blowout or somebody gets hurt. So it's a perfect situation for him to be able to go in there and just play and not worry that, you know, if I make this mistake or make that mistake, I could cost this team. I don't think it could be any better situation for his skill set than he got in.
I mean, as his coach, you know, there's also a chance that he could struggle to get some playing time at least early when, you know, the Cavs are getting out from everything. Do you think there could be any benefit to him maybe going to the Canton Charge, the Cavs' D-League affiliate, and actually, you know, getting to just play even if it's not against, you know, the same type of guys night in and night out? Because they're so close enough to Cleveland where he could practice with the team and learn from LeBron and learn from Kyrie and learn from Mo Williams.
Well, you're talking to a guy that's very prejudiced. I believe he's going to play and play for you right from the get-go.
Yeah.
I think he showed that in the summer league. I mean, you know, and he can acquiesce. And that's the great thing about him. What I mean by that is even in the summer league, he acquiesced to McCray, I think his name was.
Yeah,
you know,
for McCray.
He'll do what the coach wants him to do. And the thing that he can do that he didn't do at my place because I didn't want him to do it, but he can really guard the ball. He can really heat up and pressure the basketball. The reason I didn't have him do it is because I didn't want him using that energy at that end, and I didn't want him in foul trouble. I needed him on the floor. Well, you know, the Cavs don't need that. The Cavs need the ball heated up and really, and he's a pest out there. So I will be personally shocked if he's not your backup point guard for the first day. If he's not, then obviously he will need the D-League, but personally, I mean, even though he's, you know, only 21, I think he's ready. He's got a ready-built body. I mean, even though he's 5'8", he's like a tailback. And you guys, your fan base will see it during the course of the season, the athleticism that he has. I mean, we threw alley-oops to him. The ability to dunk the ball, the ability to go block a shot. He'll come out of nowhere and block a shot. It looks like he's fired out of a gun to do it. You know, I mean, your fan base is going to love it.
Yeah. Is there an area on the floor you think he really needs to improve in over the next year, over the next couple of years as he develops a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. He's a scorer, not a shooter right now.
Right.
You know, he's a great free throw shooter. Right? He made 50 in a row at one point this year. Even though he's a great free throw shooter, he's a scorer. You know, when he's got it going, everything goes in, and then he'll go 1 for 7, you know. I think as he moves on in his career, he's got to be more consistent jump shooter, and he will be with time. And, you know, putting the shots in and getting in the gym and being around who he's going to be around and the teaching that he's going to get in that, he'll improve on that. But today, the one part of his game that I think isn't, quote, ready-made would probably be, like, his jump shot, and the three-point line's a little deeper. I know he didn't shoot the three well in the summer league, but he's also a guy that can go out and make 5 threes in a row, you know. So, and he can do that because he's such a confident kid. He believes
right.
He's going to make everything.
That's a pretty good trait. That's honestly a pretty good trait to have. You'd rather have the guy that is that confident, I think, than a guy who maybe is trying to get in the flow of things. One last question for a coach, and I really, really, again, thank you for the time. Have you had a chance to talk to him since he was drafted and since, you know, he started on his path to, you know, playing with the Cavs in the NBA?
Oh, for sure. You know, talked probably 2 or 3 times. Got to remember that generation, man. Everything's a text.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I text him all the time. But actual face-to-face talking probably only twice, once since he's been back from the summer league. And he loves Cleveland. He agrees with me. He's in a great, great situation. And, one of the things that did really well for us is community service. I mean, he was a kid that was always with autographs, always out in the public. And I think the Cavs will love that about him because he's not entitled at all. He's very, very down to earth, and he's living a dream right now, and he knows he's very fortunate to live it. So he's a great kid.
Well, I think, you know, talking to some Cavs fans and just knowing, I think they're pretty excited, and I think, you know, on a team like this, when you get a rookie that can jump like he can and, like, you know, have that really flat, I think, you know, he gives people a reason to be excited, and, I think something, what you're saying about him, I think is only going to make people more excited about what's potentially to come for Kay Felder.
Yeah, I do, too, and I think, you know, I've read something on Twitter and that where there are certain fans that believe that he's not ready, and I think that you got to trust in your coaches and your team. If he's not ready, then they'll send him down, but if he's there, it's because he is ready, and again, I'm prejudiced, but I believe he's ready. And I don't think Dan Gilbert would have done what they did if they didn't think he was ready. Because, you know, to spend that much money to get his right is fairly unprecedented. And so I think Cleveland knows what they have.
You know, one last thing, actually. Does it also help that he's going to be playing for a coach like Ty Lue, who was a pretty solid NBA point guard for a long time and is, you know, a former player and really not that far removed from playing in the NBA?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think for Kay, other than the jump shot, the maturity is going to be the issue. Understanding the NBA, understanding playing 82 games, understanding the grind of what the NBA is about. You know, Kay takes losing very badly, and you can't do that in the NBA because you got to play a game the next day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that being around a championship-caliber team and a championship coach, that maturity thing will be taught to him. And I think, for sure, your question is absolutely right.
Well, Coach, thank you again for the time. I know it's a little bit early, but best of luck next season. And perhaps talk again when Kay gets going a little bit in the NBA.
I know we wouldn't have needed much luck if he'd have stayed for one more year, but I appreciate the offer.